And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back with wonder.
Hey there, Wonderlings. This is Angela Bowen, the host of Looking Back at My Wonder Years of Wonder Years podcast. And today we are doing another flashback episode for season 4. We are doing season 4, episode 13, entitled Who's Aunt Rose? This episode aired on February 6, 1991. Following the death of a very distant relative, Grandpa Arnold comes to visit and convinces the family to attend the funeral and burial. While at the event, Kevin begins to think about the mortality of his dad and his grandfather. Now, those of you that have seen the show to completion, no, spoiler alert, that Jack does pass away. I think it's like, it's a year after Kevin graduates high school, because in season 6, he's in his junior year. If there's a season 7, we would have seen Kevin start and finish his senior year of high school and graduate. And then the following year, George would have passed, not George, golly, Jack would have passed away from a heart attack, which, given that guy working those 20 plus years or more at Norcom, I'm not surprised. But then he had his furniture business, which I think at least that left something to Wayne to, you know, to take over. And in season 4, we do see Norma start going to community college. So at least we know when her husband passes, she will have a career to fall back on. We actually learn a little bit in upcoming season 6. I think, I thought it was like the Christmas episode or something in season 6 where she's saying that there's a couple guys fresh out of college and they're starting up some type of startup company. I don't know if it was with computers or something, but anyway, so that's cool. I mean, we get to see Grandpa Arnold again. He's a funny guy. He's an old man, you know, they're kind of grumpy and everything, crotchety, what have you. But we can always count on Grandpa Arnold for laughs, whether they're intentional or not. So this episode actually has a 7.9 out of 10 rating on IMDb out of 137 ratings. This episode was directed by Rob Thompson, and writers Neil Marlins and Carol Black, the creators, teleplay by Mark B. Perry, and story by Jill Gordon. So this must have been submitted by her. Let's see. Connections for this episode. The narrator, adult Kevin, says that $20 bill was from here to eternity. Yeah, we'll get there. Trivia. The pastor, Earl Bowen, B-O-E-N, will later play a minister in Fred Savage's Little Brother series, Boy Meets World, on the episode where Feeny marries the dean. Okay. Soundtracks. Toccata and Fugue in D minor by Johann Sebastian Bach. So is that like the funeral procession, maybe? I don't know. All right, well, before we kick things off with the quote of the episode, I just want to let you know, as you've heard before, if you want to get in touch and contact, follow along with the podcast, you can do so by going to the Facebook page, Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast page. We also have Instagram, LBOM, Wonder Years podcast. If you want to shoot me an email, you can do so at LBOM, Wonder Years podcast at gmail.com, which it is on SoundCloud as well, so you can get that down. Also, if you haven't yet, if you're enjoying the podcast, I would love it if you would go to iTunes and leave a rating and review. Every review my podcast gets it a little more noticed. So, yeah, if you haven't done so, I would love it if you would leave a review. So, that being said, let's get into the opening quote. I grew up in a... Sorry, guys, let me try to begin. Adult narrator, I grew up in a neighborhood that was a lot like other neighborhoods, where the boxes we lived in were distinguished only by the names on the mailboxes and the cars in the driveways. It was a place where hard-working Americans circled their wagons to protect themselves from the outside world. Our lives were made up of little moments, all delicately intertwined. So, the camera kind of goes in through the kitchen window, and we see it's a typical evening dinner with the Arnold family. Jack telling Wayne, like, hey, garbage day's tomorrow. Make sure the garbage can is at the end of the driveway. And, of course, Wayne balks at it that. He's like, well, it's Kevin's turn. And Kevin looks at, like, hey, no, it's not. I did it the other day. And Jack's like, I don't give a shit whose turn it is. Just do it, please. And Norma is saying how Karen called. Immediately, Jack is all like, how much does she need this time? And Karen's like, just $35 to get her through to the end of the month. Which, I think, you know, that's not bad. I mean, that's, what, 1970? So, I can, $35 would go a bit back then. And especially how Karen, you know, lives with the, you know, the beans and the rice and everything like that. So, I'm going to play this clip.
It was a place where hard-working Americans circled their wagons to protect themselves from the outside world.
Wayne, don't forget the trash. Tomorrow's Tuesday.
Hey, it's Kevin's turn.
No, it's not.
Just do it.
Our lives were made up of little moments.
More scalloped potatoes, honey?
All delicately intertwined.
Karen called today.
How much?
Just $35 till the end of the month.
Send her a check.
Hey, that's mine.
Not anymore, Angel Face.
Wayne, give your brother the role.
Maybe we weren't aware of it then, amid the school paper drives and the scalloped potatoes and the sounds of the neighbor's children playing. But life was rich there in our small sanctuary. And precious.
It is.
The only thing that could ever change that...
Hello?
...was death.
Jack, it's your father.
So Norma's passing around scalloped potatoes, Jack's saying how good the dinner is, and of course, Kevin wants the last roll, and Wayne grabbed, like, oh, sorry, nope, you can't have it. And Norma's like, Wayne, give your brother the roll. Of course, before he does, he takes it and licks the bottom of it a couple times and hands it off to Kevin, who puts it on his plate. I would be like, I don't want it anymore. You keep it. Yeah. So everything's going well. Jack's saying, like I said, how great dinner is and everything like that. It's just, it's a nice, you know, family moment, like any other typical family dinners, until the phone rings, and it's Jack's father. And Kevin's kind of narrating how it seems like, you know, everything's going along great until the phone rings. You know, it's like death is knocking on your door. But no, in the next scene, Grandpa Arnold is there. He's like, hey, hey, hey. He sounds like Fred Albert. And he's like, hey, kids, how you doing? He's very much alive. So, yeah. And I love how Wayne, not just Kevin, but Wayne, they all go in for a group hug. Like, hey, Grandpa, they rush him. And he's all smiles.
Oh, my boy! Not Grandpa was dead, exactly. In fact, he was alive and kicking. Ah! Got your nose! Like a fine old wine or an old smoked ham, the guy just seemed to get more robust with age.
Hi, Albert. Let me take your coat.
I appreciate you putting me up, Norma. I really do.
Oh, now don't be silly. You're always welcome here.
So, how long are you staying for, Gramps?
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Somehow, he just filled the house with life.
He's going to a funeral.
Who died?
Oh, you didn't tell him, John.
No, Dad, I... just one little question.
Who's Aunt Rose?
So Grandpa comes in, he's hugging the boys, he does that thing, that trick with Kevin where, you know, you do it with little toddlers, like, oh, I got your nose, I got your nose. He does that with Kevin, and Kevin just plays along. And then he turns to Wayne and kind of lightly socks him in the stomach, like Three Stooges style, and Wayne just kind of rolls with it, even though he looks like he's doing his best to put in the effort, like, I want to walk away from here. And Norma comes in, and she hugs Albert, and just says, oh, we're so happy to have you. And they're like, oh, how long are you going to be here for? And that's when Jack comes in, puts down Grandpa's luggage, and says, well, he's going to a funeral. And Norma's like, well, who passed away? And she's like, oh, you, and Grandpa turns to Jack, like, oh, you didn't tell them? And Jack's like, well, I thought it'd be better coming from you. And Norma's kind of looking at Jack, like, don't, Aunt Rose, apparently, who, even Kevin's, like, afterward, like, who is Aunt Rose? So now we're gonna get a study in who Aunt Rose was. Apparently she was not the boys' aunt, so maybe it might be Grandpa Arnold's aunt?
Actually, she wasn't your aunt. She was, she was my first cousin.
By 10 o'clock that night, I was sorry I asked.
Look at that. You know where that was taken?
No. Why don't you tell us, Grandpa?
That was up at the lake house.
Nice bathing suit.
Yeah, well, that's what they look like in those days, Wayne. You know, she was 82 years old when she died. You boys even imagine that?
Of course, when you're 14, 82 isn't much different from 42 or even 102. Still, if Gramps needed a friendly ear, he could count on us. Come on, Dad. The boys should get some sleep.
Yeah, you're right, John. I guess I've been bending you boys' ears too much, huh?
Nah. It was fun, Grandpa.
A lie, but a good lie. After all, the guy was going to a funeral. The least we could do was give him a pleasant send-off.
Oh, and set your alarm clocks. We gotta leave by 8 o'clock.
Hold on here. Did he say we? It was obvious somebody had to clear this up. We chose the big guy.
Dad, about those alarm clocks.
I meant to tell you. I forgot mine. You'll have to get us up and we can go in my car.
You know, Dad, we weren't really planning on going to the funeral.
Not going? Of course we're going.
I have to fly to Seattle Thursday morning and...
Funeral's tomorrow, John. You got plenty of time. Oh, where are the glasses?
Over here.
Now, of course, what was needed here was a simple clearing of the air, a collective statement of intention.
This just isn't a good time for me, Dad.
Funerals are never a good time, John. Besides, I think the boys should go.
Great. Now he was dragging us into this.
Boys have school.
Then write a note. I think death in the family is an acceptable excuse.
Dad.
What is the matter with you, son? Rose was family. Our family. Doesn't that mean anything to you?
But the truth is, it really didn't. Not to me, anyway.
I'll bet that Kevin there would like to pay his last respects to one of our own, wouldn't you, son?
And suddenly, I was all that was standing between us and Aunt Rose.
Sure, Grandpa. I guess so.
So Grandpa Arnold's kind of sitting down with the boys and going through the photo album explaining who Aunt Rose is. And he starts off by saying, well, she's not your aunt. She was Grandpa Arnold's first cousin. Then why does it say who's Aunt Rose? who is she an aunt to? Because it clearly, she wasn't an aunt to Jack. And I kind of think, now Jack's an only child from what I remember. I don't think he has any other siblings. If he does, we've never heard of them. They've never been written into any episodes. The only person that Aunt Rose would be an aunt to would be her siblings' children. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. So I don't know why that. Because I kind of thought, well, oh, it's like Jack's aunt or grandpa's aunt or something like that. But no, she's a first cousin. Those boys don't know her. That's why Kevin's like, well, who's Aunt Rose? I've never heard of her. So Kevin kind of does put a timestamp on there. It's 10 o'clock at night. The boys, they're yawning. They're tired. They're trying to be supportive of Grandpa while he's telling these stories about Rose. And finally, Jack kind of comes in and says, Grandpa, it's time to knock off, right? The boys got school in the morning. Time for bed. And that's when Grandpa's like, all right, well, I guess I should hit the hay. Oh, by the way, set your alarm clocks for 8, because that's the time we hit the road to go to the funeral. And he walks out of the room, headed towards the kitchen, and everyone's kind of looking at each other like, excuse me, what? Funeral, what? 8 o'clock? Alarm clock? What? So they go and kind of confront him, like, Dad, what do you mean? What's the deal with the alarm clock? You know, we had no plans of going to the funeral. And the boys got school. I gotta, you know, this is season 4, so Jack's gotta fly to someplace for his job on Thursday. And Grandpa's like, oh, don't worry about that, don't worry about that. Plenty of time, you'll be back. The boys, they can miss a day of school. Write him a note. They're going to be on the road by 8. They're not going to, what are they going to stop by the school? Here, take this note and say you're not going to be here because you're going to a funeral. You know, death in the family. It's like, death in the family, I get. Grandparent, parent, sibling, cousin, aunt or uncle. Sure. But your grandpa's first cousin? Well, I'm sure it's a death in the family. They don't really need to specify, so. But I can see the boy. They're not going to want to go to the funeral. They don't know her. I'm sure they would rather be in school. And I'm going to get a smidge personal for a second. There was recently a death in my family. It was my grandma's sister. But the thing is, I knew her, Aunt Eleanor. You know, she was 96 when she passed away and everything like that. But the thing is, she passed away, I didn't find out till like a week and a half to 2 weeks later that she had even passed. Because I know she hadn't been in the greatest health or anything like that. So I was just shocked. And, you know, I heard from someone like, oh, the funeral was nice. I mean, yeah, I didn't go to my grandma's other sister's funeral that happened maybe a couple years ago. But still, it would have been nice to have known and not just found out after the fact. I mean, sure, I probably didn't I think I was going to go to the funeral or anything. But it would have been nice to know when it had happened. I don't know, guys. That's kind of my little, that's my little rant. It's just about family communication and letting you know when things happen. Even though, I mean, it's not like it's grandma's third cousin or grandma's aunt or something like that, but still, Aunt Eleanor was a part of the family. You know, she was at the gathering. She was, you know, in the Christmas video from the farmhouse in 1992. I always watch it like, oh, there's Aunt Eleanor. Now when I watch it this December, I'm like, oh yeah, Aunt Eleanor. She, you know, she passed away. Oh, there's a so-and-so. They're not around anymore. It's like whenever, every year I watch that video, it feels like one less person is not alive anymore. And it's kind of sad. But anyway. And I love how Grandpa always singles Kevin out. He's like, oh, well, I bet Kevin would love to go and pay his respects. And everyone looks at Jack and Norma are like kind of hinging on what is going to come out of Kevin's mouth. And Kevin, of course, you know, he feels like he's put on the chopping block there or whatever. He's like, well, if I don't say anything, Grandpa will be mad at me. But if I do say I want to go, then everyone else is going to be angry. So it's like, it sucks that he always seems to put Kevin in that position. Like, you'll stand up for me, won't you, grandson? You'll side with me. You're my favorite. Clearly, Kevin is the favorite. What, in Grandpa's car, I remember there, you know, Grandpa didn't have a license, so he's saying, well, Wayne will drive, or, you know, he'll... Or no, Grandpa was saying, well, let the boy drive me. And Wayne's like, I don't want to. And Grandpa Arnold's like, I don't mean you. Kevin here. So yes, Kevin is clearly the favorite grandchild. Well, at least, you know, we know Karen can't go. She's got an out. She's got to be in college and in school. And she's like, what, an hour or so away? Yeah. And I love how Grandpa just springs this on the family at 10 o'clock at night. When they're all ready to head to bed, they got their bathrobes on. Grandpa's kept them up all night talking about Rose. And they're like, yeah, with the alarm clock. And they're like, excuse me? They're ready to hit the hay. Now they gotta be on the road at 8 o'clock. They don't gotta be up at 8, but they gotta be on the road at 8. I mean, I'm sure that, what time does school normally start? That starts probably around, like, close to 8, right? Because when I was in high school, it started, I got up at, like, 6:20 in the morning to get on the bus at 6:55. And I think class started, like, 7:45, 7:55. I know it was around before 8 o'clock. But dang, oh man. So now we're in the car. Wayne's all like, thanks, Grandpa. I'd love to go to the funeral. And of course, he probably starts punching Kevin in the shoulder already. I was like, Wayne, I didn't hear you speaking up. And Grandpa Arnold is being a little nonchalant about everyone else's feelings and what's going on with them. I mean, Jack's got to get ready to take a trip. He probably isn't even packed yet, but Norma will probably pack his stuff. But even still, it's inconsiderate that he assumes, of course you're going to go to the funeral. There was a time, like, oh gosh, what was it, like 4 years ago that... Jeremy and I, we had went up to his family's gathering, you know, with his father and step-parent and whatnot. And I guess the step-parent, her mother had passed. And he was expecting Jeremy and I and his brother and his, was it his wife at the time or was it? Yeah, anyway, expecting us to go to the stepmom's mother's funeral. It's like, we didn't know her. Jeremy had no intention of going. So it's like, he's like, well, I didn't plan to go. It's like, and it almost sounded like there was an expectation, like, we're not going. But anyway, it's like, yeah. Just being inconsiderate. So, being this is a car, we got Jack and Grandpa there up front. We got Norma in back with the boys. So that's going to be interesting later. Kevin's feeling bad because he's kind of been thrown under the bus. Like, oh, now everyone hates me because I was the one that said, sure, Grandpa, we'd love to be there. I guess it's all right. And of course, you know, Wayne's calling him a butthead and everything. But Norma's kind of like, oh, Albert, are so-and-so going to be there? And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, they came down like the day before, and to help this person with the arrangements for the funeral and stuff. And Jack could not look any more miserable. He's like, ugh. Good thing Norma's there to kind of keep the chatter going. Otherwise, Grandpa would definitely be poking and prodding at Jack for conversation. We know Jack's not a big conversationalist, but and the last thing you want is for Jack to get into it with Grandpa Arnold, because Grandpa Arnold knows how to push Jack's buttons. So at least Norma can be there to kind of keep conversation flowing and, you know, not diffuse.
Sure, Grandpa. I guess so. But
wasn't fair. I'd been cast as the Benedict Arnold of the Arnold clan just for being a dutiful grandson.
Are Phil and Opal coming to the funeral, Albert?
Oh, yeah. They drove down last night to help Iris with the arrangements. And Ray's flying in from Portland.
Iris? Ray? Who are these people?
And Lloyd will be there, too.
Lloyd?
Yeah, you remember Lloyd, do you?
Yeah, Dad, I remember. The thing is, I couldn't understand why all this was so important to the old guy.
It'll be good to see the family again. Right, Kev?
And why was he picking on me?
Why, Grandpa?
I'm glad you decided to come.
So Grandpa Arnold's kind of saying who all's going to be at the funeral, and he mentions Lloyd will be there too. And for some reason, that name lights a fire under Jack a little bit. He's like, Lloyd? Lloyd is going to be there? So we don't know who this Lloyd is, but clearly Jack's not too happy about that. But I'm sure that we will meet this guy later. So Kevin's just kind of sitting in the back wondering, like, why is all of this so important to him? It's, well, because it's Grandpa Arnold, he's big on family, he wants people to come together when it comes to family and everything and be there for each other. And think about it, he doesn't have his wife, and his wife passed away. Who else does he have to cling to? So he's probably just taking in these moments of like funerals and stuff to get family together. He's all about family. Because, well, pretty much family is all he's got left. You know, he's just got Jack and, you know, the grandkids and Norma. So he doesn't have any other family to kind of hold on, you know, cling to. And Grandpa Arnold's like, oh, it'll be great to see the whole family again. And he looks in the rearview mirror looking at Kevin. I'm like, right, Kev? And Kevin's just kind of thinking, like, why is he picking on me? Jeez. What did I do to deserve this? And Kevin's like, oh, right, Grandpa, yeah. So Grandpa Arnold looks at Jack and he's like, oh, I'm happy you decided to come. I'm happy you decided to come. And then he does something, Grandpa Arnold does something with his finger where he kind of like pokes Jack in the belly, like, and Jack, of course, he's kind of like tight mouthed, but it's almost like Dan Laria is trying to hold back a smile or a laugh, or he's really like, I gotta be serious in this scene. All right, so now we arrive at the funeral parlor. So this is just, like, the viewing, like, with the open casket and everything. This isn't the funeral itself, because the burial's going to be held, of course, outside at a cemetery. So her name is Rose McKenzie, okay. And when the funeral director opens the double doors, we get a shot of the family, and Grandpa Arnold and Jack are both at the same time putting on these little, what are they called? Little white carnation things on their lapels? It's a sign of respect. I noticed the boys don't have one, but maybe it's just for the adults. I am playing this clip. This is crazy. Who is this old man? He comes up to Wayne and he's like, you know why we call it? He's like talking to this guy with glasses right there. Like, oh, you know why we call this boy here Ouija? Because he couldn't say Wayne until he was like 4. Seriously? Wayne is not a long word. But Ouija is even longer.
Here we are. Rose McKenzie. My deepest condolences.
Somehow I understood exactly what he meant.
He
this isn't little Ouija, is it? You know why we call him Ouija, don't you? Because he couldn't say Wayne until he was about 4 years old.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, there was a second gunman on that grassy knoll. I know what I'm talking about.
And this must be Kevin. Just look at you. You look just like your mother.
Yeah, times have been tough, Norma. I know it wouldn't take much to get the business back on its feet again. It's just one thing after another. You know what I mean?
You two? You could be twins.
All in all, a sobering experience. After about 45 minutes of this, our little twig on the family tree was just about ready to branch off.
It's like a little meet and greet with family they probably haven't seen in like 10 plus years. We got the guys like, oh, you know why we call this boy Ouija? Because he couldn't say Wayne until he was 4 years old. It's like, that other guy don't care. And Wayne is just kind of, you know, being the dutiful, you know, playing along and everything. Like, yeah, I gotta be on my best behavior. Otherwise, I tell this guy what I really think of him. And then, of course, we get this lady, oh, this can't be little Kevin, oh, you've grown up. And she grabs his cheek and kind of pinches it and shakes it. And he's just, Kevin's kind of slightly turning, like, Mom, help me, Mom. And, of course, Norma's got her own issues with this guy. I don't know who he is, but he's talking about, you know, his business, you know, kind of falling out from under him. It's just times are hard. And Norma's like being respectful, like, oh, yes, yes, that's so hard. I'm so sorry. And everything like that. Is that the thing? At some of the funerals I went to, I mean, I don't really remember hearing people saying, like, oh, it's so tough with so-and-so and it's bad. Oh, no, actually, okay, I got a story here. This was at my grandpa's viewing. His wait, was it? Yes, it was. So I'm sitting there, and Jeremy wasn't there with me at the time, but he was, you know, there for my grandpa's funeral. But anyway, I'm sitting there, and it's a packed area, and I'm sitting there, and I don't know who this guy is. He might have been my grandpa's younger brother, but I couldn't tell. But this guy just sits down. It's like he's looking for somebody just to talk to about something about veins either in his legs or having issues. And I'm just trying to be polite, like, and I'm kind of casually, like, trying to look around, like, somebody please. I don't want to get up and walk away because I know that'd be rude. But my Uncle Ed finally came over and kind of rescued me from the conversation. Like, thank you. Thank you. I felt so uncomfortable. I didn't know what to say. I'm just trying to sit there and be polite and everything. But honestly, I can only do that for so long before it's like, someone come and take me away from here. I don't want to hear any more about veins and legs and stuff like that. Old people problems. So this older lady comes up to Kevin and Wayne, who are standing there. She's like, you two could be twins. Lady, are you short-sighted? They both have different color hair. They both, their height difference, they look nothing alike. Oh, but the lady that was pinching Kevin's cheek is like, you look just like your mother. Sure, thank you. As Kevin's kind of looking over slightly at his mom, like, help me, Mom, get me away from here. Of course, it was this guy who was talking about the Kennedy assassination with that second gunman on the grassy knoll. Like, oh, I know what I'm talking. This guy even has the nerve to say, oh, I know what I'm talking about. Do you? I don't know all about that stuff, but I thought that was like a big, like, conspiracy thing and everything. I don't know. Anyway, so Jack and the boys are kind of standing there. I think they want to duck outside for a minute. Like, hey, say the word, we can zip outside for a minute, like pretend we're taking like a smoke break, even though we don't smoke. But Roy Was it Roy? No, I can't remember his name. But anyway, the guy that Jack was dreading seeing spots him. And Jack is just standing there like, oh no. Oh god, no. Yeah.
This was Dad's cousin Lloyd. He made a mint selling aluminum siding. Probably the only person in the world with enough nerve to call my father.
Cuz. Hallie, how you doing?
Just great, Lloyd. You've never been better.
Except for this course. Hey. You're looking different, Jack. Put on a few?
I don't think so.
Maybe you're just getting old.
It was the kind of give and take that always affected Dad the same way.
I have to go to the John.
Good idea.
Hey. I'll bet I missed a few birthdays in there somewhere. I don't have any change. You can split this up, can't you?
Hello, cuz.
Sure.
You bet.
Suddenly, we were starting to feel pretty kindly towards Aunt Rose.
All right, boys. Time to say goodbye.
So Lloyd is talking with Norma as Norma kind of points over to where Jack is standing, and that's when Jack is like, oh, shit. So Lloyd comes up like, hey there, cuz. Oh, you look different. Oh, you put on a few, haven't you? And Jack's like, No, I don't think so. So, Kevin's given us a little bit of background on Lloyd Arnold. Apparently, this guy is fucking loaded. Kevin says he made a mint selling aluminum siding. So, basically, this guy's fucking rolling in it. Yay. So, Lloyd comes over, and the first thing out of his mouth, he's got a big smile on his face, like, hey, cuz! So, Jack, you know, being polite, you know, Lloyd's like, hey, cuz, how you doing? Jack's like, oh, you know, never been better. And Jack's got, you know, a fake smile plastered on his face, like, just keep up appearances and get through this, basically. And the guy's got the nerve to tell Jack, like, oh, well, maybe you're just getting old, as he kind of slaps his cheek. Like, yeah. And it's, so this guy must be younger than Jack, I guess. So Jack finally excuses him. I gotta go to the John. Bye. So that leaves, the boys look like they want to go, but Lloyd kind of holds them there, like, oh, well, you know what? Boys, I think I missed a few birthdays in there. So, we see he's got one of those money clips, and he's got, like, a bunch of 20s, like, stacked in this money clip. As he's thumbing through them, like, yo, here you go. I only got cash on me here. Don't got any singles, but I'm sure you two can split this 20 between yourselves. Sure not. That's gonna end in a fight. So, Lloyd leaves. Grandpa Arnold kind of comes over, puts his arms around the boy's shoulders, like, all right, boys, it's time to say goodbye to Rose, Aunt Rose. So he kind of leads them over to the coffin. And a fight, well, I wouldn't call it so much a fight as in, give me the 20, you know, it's mine, half of it's mine, back and forth. Yeah.
Face to face with mortality, it's hard to describe the emotions that swelled within us.
Give me the money.
What?
Half of it's mine. I'll get the change.
Wrong. I'll get the change.
Okay, fine. I trust you.
Well, that 20 is gone now, boys. I mean, unless one of them isn't too creeped out to just grab it! She's not going to wake up and grab your hand or anything. My gosh. That's $20 right there. If it were a $100 bill, you would be grabbing it. But even $20 in 1970 was a bit of money. I mean, they got to split it between them. That's what the fight was about. Like, oh, no, I'll take it. I'll get the change. And Kevin's like, no, I'll take it. I'll get the change. And of course, they're like, they're grabbing at it and it falls in the casket. So, yeah, neither of them is going to die for that 20. It's right there. Just take it.
The presence of death. Mere words often seem inadequate. Sure, it was only about 18 inches or so. But in the greater scheme of things, that $20 bill was from here to eternity.
I know you boys are gonna miss her. But remember, she's at peace now.
Maybe she was. But we weren't.
I did want to mention that the guy who plays Jack's cousin Lloyd, I'm like, I know that guy. I know the voice, the face. So I looked it up. Sure enough, I've seen that man in something. A year prior, he played Joey Gladstone's father in an episode of Full House. He was Colonel Gladstone. It was the episode where Joey was doing a stand-up act. And the girls, DJ and Stephanie, invite Joey's dad, Colonel Gladstone, to come and see it. Granted, they don't know that Joey and his dad, really, they're kind of estranged. They don't get along and everything like that. But luckily, spoiler alert, at the end of the episode, they reconcile. So, and we learned that Joey got his love of cartoons from his dad because he got chicken pox or whatever, and they spent the whole weekend on the couch watching old Popeye reruns, and his dad does a really shitty impression of Popeye, like, ugh. All right, so the boys are now, because we had cut to commercial break when they dropped the 20, we come back, they're still staring at the coffin and the $20 that is now gone in their eyes. And the lady with the glasses kind of comes up like, oh, I know you boys will miss her, but she's at peace now. I thought she was going to grab that 20. Like, oh, $20. Thank you. But the boys are now in the bathroom devising a plan. Wayne's got, like, gum and dental floss to try to get the 20. That casket's been closed, guys. Someone could have seen that 20 and like, oh, well, I'll take this 20 out of here so no one tries to dig up the coffin and take it.
Walk up to the casket. You keep a lookout, and I'll take care of the rest. You got it?
Are you sure we should do this?
What's the matter? You chicken?
No, I'm not chicken.
Well, then you gotta help me.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. You dropped it.
I didn't drop it.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't drop it. No, you didn't.
This case was closed, all right.
So, Wayne says, hey, I'm gonna do this. You keep a lookout for anybody while trying to grab the 20. And then they get into an argument, kind of shoving each other, like, oh, you didn't drop it. I didn't drop it. You dropped it, and such and such. And they're kind of shoving each other. That's when Grandpa Arnold comes in, like, what the heck? What is going on? This is a funeral, not a fist fight. Where's your dad? And Wayne's like, well, I don't know. And then Grandpa Arnold's all like, well, he missed the coffin closing. Come on, we're going to the burial. So Grandpa's kind of in an irritated mood. But then again, Grandpa Arnold is Grandpa Arnold, so anything would set him off. So now we're in the car, and this is where the shoving, hitting the shoulder thing kind of escalates. And Grandpa Arnold has had a fuck enough of these boys. Like, you know what? We're on our way to a burial, and you're acting like a bunch of schoolyard ruffians in a fist fight. I've had enough. If you can't be respectful, then get the hell out of the fucking car.
What the hell were you doing back there, John?
I was getting some air.
Getting some air?
Guess you could say it was kind of a solemn ride to the gravesite.
The flowers were lovely, Elmer.
Yeah, they were, weren't they? I haven't seen so many flowers since Helen died. Remember that, don't you, John?
Yeah, I remember that.
Boy, it was hot that day, remember?
Dad, I remember, okay?
Just making conversation.
But while Gramps and Dad chewed the fat in the front seat, where I sat, I had problems of my own.
Cut it out!
Oh, sure, after I hit you once for every dollar you lost.
I didn't lose it.
Oops, lost how? Better start over again.
Wayne? Kevin?
All right, I've told you, boys. Now, let's just all try to put a good face on this, all right?
But the fact is, I didn't feel like putting on a face.
Man.
John, there's something I've been meaning to talk to you about.
I was a 14-year-old kid with a sore shoulder, down $10, on my way in a cramped car to bury somebody who had absolutely nothing to do with me.
Have you thought any more about buying that plot next to your mother and me?
And then, suddenly, Aunt Rose's funeral hit home.
Dad, do we have to talk about this?
Something you should be thinking about.
Dad.
You don't want these boys making the decisions for you, do you? They'll have enough to think about when the time comes.
Dad, I've taken care of it, okay?
It was the first time I'd heard that my dad had a little patch of earth with his name on it. And of course, there was only one thing to do about it.
Boys, just stop it! Stop it!
All right! That's it! Get out to both of you.
What?
If you can't go to a funeral and be respectful, then don't go!
Grandpa!
If you change your mind, the cemetery is 2 miles down the road.
Dad.
No help there. Or there. So, I just had to hope Gramps was bluffing.
I'm serious about this, dammit! Now get out!
But
now!
I had never seen my grandfather so furious.
So in the car, Grandpa Arnold is laying into Jack, like, what the hell are you doing out there? And Jack's like, well, Dad, I was just getting some air. And Grandpa Arnold's like, getting some air? So I like how Norma's trying to defuse the situation before it gets into a shouting match. It's like, oh, the flowers were lovely, Albert. And he's like, oh, yes, they were. And he mentions, I haven't seen so many flowers since Helen died. So are we to assume that Helen is Jack's mother? Because he kind of turns to Jack like, oh, you remember that, don't ya? He's like, yeah, Dad, I remember. And then, you know, Grandpa's just like, oh, remember how hot it was that day and everything? And Jack's like, yeah, Dad, I remember, all right? And, of course, our Grandpa's like, just making conversation. Like, no, you're starting to try to pick him apart and pick an argument here or something. It's like the little needly things that he does, whatever he comes out of his mouth, Jack is going to be automatically irritated by. So while that's going up in the front seat, in the back seat, now Wayne is like, well, I'm going to punch you in the shoulder for every dollar that you cost me, which was $10. So he starts doing that to Kevin. And Wayne's like, oh, I lost count. Gotta start over. And Norma's like sitting. So Kevin's kind of sandwiched in the middle with Wayne on one side and then Norma on the other. And Kevin kind of starts, you know, popping Wayne in the shoulder. And Norma's trying to, like, grab onto Kevin. Like, Wayne, Kevin? That's it. And then Grandpa Arnold's like, now I told you boys, that's enough. And they do stop for, like, a minute. And then, of course, Grandpa Arnold has to bring up, like, oh, have you given any more thought, Jeff, to being buried up where your mother and I are, your mother's buried and I'm going to be buried? And Jeff's like, Dad, look, I took care of it, okay? Don't worry about it. And Kevin's kind of overhearing this, like, it just now hit him, you know, the mortality that, you know, I mean, they're on their way to a, you know, a burial and everything like that. And just the idea that he could lose his dad, lose his grandfather and everything. So, I don't know how, if that's the case, then when Norma goes, would she be buried up there? And the thing is, Grandpa Arnold's like, well, yeah, you definitely want to take care of it because you don't want to leave that to your boys to have to take care of that for you. I'm like, well, we know that Jack passes away later, so we know that Norma is going to be probably taking, you know, everything's going to be in order. I mean, yes, his death, we know, was unexpected. And the thing that I'm kind of curious, if they had went into, like, season 7 with having Kevin graduate high school, would they have kept, like, was that the ultimate plan to have Jack die in an epilogue? I don't know. I think maybe they thought that since, you know, with all of his years being overworked at Norcom, always popping the antacids and everything like that, that maybe it finally, the stress just kind of caught up to him. I mean, he wasn't exactly lightweight, but then again, he wasn't really overweight either. So, who knows? I think it was the stress that took him. And I bet that car did not have air conditioning. I mean, it's 1970. I don't know when air conditioning was invented in cars, but I can imagine, you know, it looks like it's probably, I mean, this is California where they're at, so it's gotta be, what, 60, 70 plus degrees in that. But then again, it's a cramped car, Kevin's sandwiched between two people. Yeah, I can imagine that's gonna, and, but then again, they're wearing, like, heavy, like, wool coats, so maybe it's, like, early spring, like, there might be a bit of a bite to the air? I'm not sure. And now Wayne starts in with a shoulder, like, he's, like, knocking his shoulder constantly into Kevin, like, really putting some oomph into that shove. And Kevin's had enough, so he starts wailing on Wayne, and they start hitting each other. And Norma, what is she gonna do? She's on Kevin's other side. The only thing she can barely do, because she really can't turn, you know, there's not enough space for her to really turn sideways and yank Kevin away or anything. It's like, and Grandpa Arnold, he's had a fuck enough. He's like, he pulls the car over. He's like, hey, if we're going to a funeral here. If you boys can't be respectful, then don't go. Get the fuck out of the car. If you want to come, the burial is 2 miles up the road. And, you know, this is the first time that Grandpa has really been really adamant about, you know, really stuck to something. And Kevin's just kind of sitting there stunned. Like, this is the first time Grandpa's really yelled, not just at Wayne, but at Kevin. So he's just sitting there shocked. And Grandpa Arnold's like, what are you still doing here? Get your butts out of the car. You wanna go to the funeral? 2 miles up the road. It's like, he's not having it. Like, this is a damn funeral, and you boys are fucking fist fighting. Granted, this is the norm for the boys that, you know, Norma and Jack are always, they're used to the boys tussling it up. Grandpa Arnold doesn't see this all the time. But then again, it's not about them. It's about going to a funeral. You be respectful in every aspect. Whether you're at the viewing, whether you're in the car on the way to the cemetery, you be respectful. It's a time of mourning. I don't care if it's someone that you're not 100% related to. You be respectful. And I like how right before they get out of the car, Kevin's like, Dad, Jax was looking off like, I don't want any part in this. And he looks at his mom like, oh, there's no help there. And she's just glowering at them like, I can't believe you boys. I am so embarrassed. Don't even talk to me. So now, yep, the boys, they're out of the car, and Grandpa just, zoop, drives off. Like, see you down there if you want to come.
And there you had it. Stranded in the middle of nowhere, with nothing to show for it but a clean suit. A lot of faces. Some people cry. Some people hand out money. Others throw dirt clods. And for the first time that day,
hey, wait up!
I was starting to feel a little grief of my own. Journeys take longer than others. By the time we got to the cemetery that afternoon, I knew I'd traveled more than just 2 miles. Something was happening in my life. Something so big, I couldn't take it all in.
Though we may feel poorer for her passing, we should seek comfort in the knowledge that we are, in fact, so much richer. Richer for having known her. For having been touched by her kindness. Would anyone like to say a few words about Rose McKenzie? I believe I would. I guess my cousin Rose liked family gatherings more than anybody I've ever known. Even after she had trouble getting around, she always loved to have a chance to see the folks. She liked to call us. Of course, lately it seems like the only time we ever get together is when there's a wedding or when somebody leaves us.
As I stood there, listening to Grandpa's words, a lot of things began to become real for me. Aunt Rose, the loss Gramps was feeling, and why coming here was so important. For all of us.
But I can tell you one thing. Rose is not gone from us. She never will be. She will always be a part of us as long as we remain a family. Part of the folks. Part of who we are. Even for those who really didn't know her very well.
I guess that's when I understood what my grandfather had been trying to explain to me. That my life was bigger than the little neighborhood I lived in. And that these strangers who surrounded me weren't just relatives. They were my family. And the death of one affected each of us in some way.
Hey, it's $20.
We'll be seeing you, Rose.
Thank you. thread of my Aunt Rose's life had been permanently woven into mine, leaving me with questions. And driving home that night, my fragile little family hurtling through the darkness, I knew I'd have to face those questions one day.
So, of course, Kevin and Wayne start throwing, like, dirt clods at each other, so I don't know if they're, like, dirty rocks, or I hope it's not horse dung, that would be gross. But then eventually, they finally make it to the cemetery as the minister that's proceeding over the burial is talking and everything, and he asks, you know, if anyone would like to say some stuff, so Grandpa Arnold steps up, and I do have the quote, so I'm going to read that. Even though you did hear it in the clip. And this is from Albert. I guess my cousin Rose liked family gatherings more than anyone I've ever known. Even after she had trouble getting around, she always loved to have a chance to see the folks, as she liked to call us. Of course, lately, it seems like the only time we get together is when there's a wedding or when somebody leaves us. And this is what Kevin says. As I stood there listening to Grandpa's words, a lot of things began to become real for me. Aunt Rose, the loss Gramps was feeling, and why coming here was so important for all of us. And this is Albert. But I can tell you one thing. Rose is not gone from us. She never will be. She will always be a part of us as long as we remain a family. Part of the folks. Part of who we are. Even for those who really didn't know her very well. And of course, adult Kevin comes in. I guess that's when I understood what my grandfather had been trying to explain to me. That my life was bigger than the little neighborhood I lived in, and that these strangers who surrounded me weren't just relatives, they were my family, and the death of one affected each of us in some way. Guys, this is an amazing quote, and Grandpa Arnold just, he's saying what everyone's thinking, you'll think about it. As we all, you know, as cousins and everything, and family members, when we're young, you know, we get together for family gatherings, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and everything like that. We're a tight-knit group. But think about it. Think 10, 15 years down the road when we're out of high school, when we're out of college, when we get married and have children and everything, and those family gatherings become less and less, like around Thanksgiving and Christmas, because you are usually probably going to see your spouse's family around that time and everything. So the get-togethers become lesser and lesser. Like Grandpa Arnold said, usually you catch up at weddings, unfortunately at funerals and everything. But it's important to stay together as a mass unit, as hard as it is, even though the family starts to dwindle and there's fewer and fewer. We need to stay together and to stay united as a family and band together through good times and in bad. That's what makes a family, communication, just thinking of the good times and just, yeah, seriously, that, Grandpa Arnold couldn't have said it better himself. I mean, that's an adult Kevin coming in there, and he's realizing that it wasn't just about Aunt Rose. It was about family and being together and all of this, that everybody, death affects everybody in a different way, especially when it's a family member. And how Kevin said that, you know, a loss in the family like that, it makes you really think that life is more than just the house you live in and, you know, in your own little world and everything like that. It's more than that. And it really makes you think about your own mortality. Like, no one knows when their time is up. And you just hope that you lived the best life that you could, and that maybe that footprint that you leave in the sand, that you left an impact, and hopefully a good impact on those that you leave behind. You know, and the thing is, they always say, it's never enough time, guys. There is never enough time to do all the things you want to do and to say the things you want to say to people. So, definitely, guys, this is going to definitely be my Wonderling words of wisdom, too. Cherish the moments you have with your family, because you don't know in an instant that could all be gone, and you're going to be left with the things that you wish you had said or wish you had done. So it's dark now. I don't know how far away the funeral in the cemetery was from the house, but it's dark out. Everybody in the car is asleep but Kevin and his dad. Because, dad's driving home and everything, and it's nice, it's quiet. And you know, Aunt Rose's death has kind of left an impression on Kevin. It's given him a lot to think about. Oh my gosh, guys, this scene here, you heard it in the clip with Kevin as he kind of gets up and sits forward in between the two front seats there. And he's like, Dad? And Jeff's like, hmm? And Kevin, and it takes a bit for Kevin to kind of, because he's kind of like wanting to word it right. And he feels maybe a little bit nervous about saying it. But he looks at his dad and says, don't ever die, all right? And Jack kind of turns to him and says, oh, Kev, don't worry. I'm not going to die. Guys, oh, this moment, knowing what we know since we've mainly all seen the show to completion, we know that Jack dies a year after Kevin graduates high school. And it is so sad. And you just want to think, you just want to go in there and just grab him and say, Kevin, cherish these moments with your dad, all right, guy? Just do it. Just every moment, just hold on and just love your dad and learn from him. You really don't got a whole lot of time left. He's got maybe, what, 4 years? Less than that, maybe? You know, and his dad will be gone. Well, this is season 4, so he's probably got about, what, maybe 5 years left? But, and then, you know, we just kind of see the car from the outside just kind of driving along the road late at night and everything. And this was a beautiful ending to the episode. I love that moment between Kevin and his dad. So, I'm going to rate this episode, let's see here. I'm going to give this one a 4 out of 5 flower power petals. The only thing I really didn't care, I didn't like the fact that Grandpa came in there to the house, like, oh, by the way, set your clocks for 8 a.m. We'll be on the road. So, for the funeral. Like, he's kind of giving orders, like, of course we're all going to the funeral. I'm like, completely not being, you know, considerate of the fact that Jack's got a job, the boys got school. He's like, I don't care. You guys, you're coming to the funeral with me. I'm not doing this by myself. But the 4 things that I did like, you know, like I said, I liked the ending when Kevin telling his dad, don't die, okay? I liked when Grandpa Arnold had enough and he screamed at the boys to get out of the car. I kind of thought it was funny with all the people in the funeral procession that were during the viewing of the casket. I kind of thought that was kind of funny. Them, you know, the lady pinching Kevin's cheek and everything like that, and the guy Lloyd giving the boys $20, and then they lose it when they're hanging over the casket. And let's see. The other thing I thought that was kind of interesting, even though, you know, we don't get to see the plan in fruition with the whole, like, dental floss or string with the gum or whatever it was that Wayne was going to use to try to get the 20 back. But, of course, the casket's closed, so they can't. But, yeah, it was a sweet episode. I really thought it was good. And it really... With everything that's been going on in my life and everything, it just makes me think of mortality and everything, too, and everything with my dad, and really gets me thinking. I actually, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I have been watching Family Ties on Amazon Prime, and I got to the episode of season 3 with where the Keaton's Aunt Trudy dies, and... Mallory was really close to her Aunt Trudy, and she breaks down at the funeral because nobody really cares. The guy giving the sermon at the funeral calls her Gertrude. Like, oh, everyone called her Gertrude. And Mallory's like, no, they didn't. They called her Trudy. And this and that. And she just broke down and cried. Like, oh my God, I lost it during that episode. And I'd never seen that episode before, but that broke my heart. Justine Bateman, give her an Emmy for that, or a nomination for that episode, because that was really, really good. I think I've just been getting worked up lately about stuff, and especially when it comes to funerals and stuff, that really, really kind of gets at me right now, so... But alright guys, I am going to talk about the episode I'll be doing either tomorrow or Wednesday. And that is, let me get to it. That is season 4, episode 14. The last episode will be done completely. This is the last flashback episode. Season 4, episode 14, entitled Courage, which aired on February 13th, 1991. So the day before Valentine's Day. Following a trip to the dentist, Kevin finds out that he needs to have a cavity filled. So, he's never had a cavity before. Wow. He puts off going back in fear that he will look like a coward in front of the lovely dental hygienist, who is always complimenting him on his courage. Well, Kevin, it's a cavity. If you don't have it filled, you're probably eventually going to get some pain in that tooth and it'll get infected. You probably have to have it ripped out of your mouth. The thing I don't like about cavities is they stick that needle in your gum to numb your gum so that way you can't feel anything when they're kind of drilling away your tooth there with little tooth bitlets. Finally, you can, even though you can't 100% feel the full force of that drill, you can still kind of feel a smidge of pressure, though. Like, you know what it's doing, because, and you're there kind of helpless, just there with your mouth hanging open, because it's like, well, what else can you do other than sit there and just think about what you'll be doing later on? I mean... everything, but, yeah, season 6 of The Wonder Years is going to kick off September 7th, so look forward to that. Also, I'm almost done with Camp Cucamonga, the review, and this week I will start working on The Wizard. That is the 4th Summer of Savage movie. That is the last one. Look forward to that. So, without further ado, let's say hey to some awesome Wonderling listeners for the week. Amsterdam, Netherlands. Muskegon, Michigan. Sacramento, California. Mississauga, Canada. Guys, I want to apologize ahead of time. I will probably butcher some of these. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Newburyport, Massachusetts. India. Florence, New Jersey. Austin, Texas. Lauren, Texas. Huntington, New York. St. Petersburg, Florida. Columbus, Ohio. Yonkers, New York. Jersey City, New Jersey. Canoga Park, California, Granville, Australia, Sarnia, Canada, Queenstown, Maryland, Los Angeles, California, Honduras, Fulton, Maryland, New Delhi, India, Waldorf, Maryland, Nicaragua, Moscow, Russian Federation, Virginia, Homestead, Sweden, Warren, Ohio. Let me see if I can, what's this? Midlothian, Virginia. All right. So, yes, look forward to Courage, the final episode of the Flashback Editions episode, the final episode of season 4. Look forward to that. I hope you all have a wonderful Monday. It's not too bad out right now, so just gotta get through today and 300 days of work. And then my birthday is on Friday. I'm excited. I'm so excited. I'm gonna be 36. So, all right, everybody. Have a great, great Monday. Bye-bye.